Final hour of the week is upon us. Where did the show go? 615-737-1045 is how you get in on the conversation, the last time to do so for the remainder of the week. I hope this Friday has gone as quickly for you guys as it has for us. Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio will be here with us for his weekly installment of Mac Talk, which we always enjoy. It'll be the closest thing to a training camp preview that we do with Mac, because the next time we talk to him, it'll be full-blown football season. God help us all. The time of downtime is over. Now the true grind begins. We're excited about it, and we're excited to be able to bring you some of the best Titans coverage that you will be able to find. 615-737-1045. Before we get into Mac, though, coming up next, I want to talk about this article that I read this morning that was sent to me by a newsletter that I signed up for. The newsletter is the 33rd team. Now, this is the GM, Mike Tannenbaum, who now is a commentator on ESPN. He started this website. He's the general manager in Miami who drafted Ryan Tannehill. So he has a collection of writers that write about the front office side of sports things for his website. And it's most of the content is informed, but every once in a while you get an opinion piece or two, because everybody's got to have a take. That's where the juice comes from. So, Joe Banner, who also a former respected, maybe I don't know about former respected, maybe he's still respected in some circles, but a former NFL executive himself, writes for the 33rd team. And the article is the two most overrated NFL teams going into training camp. Can you guess who's one of the two? List season, we are not yet free from it. The shackles of the list, the shackles of the rankings. It continues to poison and pollute our Twitter timelines. So this is what he writes of the Tennessee Titans. There are a lot of people that think Tennessee is ready to make a jump to the Super Bowl, but I would be surprised if they were even able to win their division. Holy hot take. Okay, Joe Banner. If they were to make it to the playoffs, barring any injuries, the Titans would be a team I would want to face if I was leading another AFC club. So he's not couching this at all. He's coming right off the top rope. Oof. The first thing I look at when evaluating a team are the quarterback and the offensive and defensive line. I like Ryan Tannehill and think he is good, but he's not phenomenal. He is coming off a few of his best seasons in which he has stayed healthy, but I also see a player that will be 33 by the start of training camp that has had previous knee and shoulder injuries. All right, let's take this piece by piece, shall we? Because if the Ryan Tannehill slander is going to start already, then we got to get into it.
Jeez.
I mean, so here's what I'll say. I do think that people vaulting the Titans into Super Bowl contention because of Julio Jones are off their ass. I think that is one of the dumbest things being said on the internet. Now, I think that Julio Jones makes a big difference if you're trying to keep pace in this arms race that is the AFC currently, where you look at the Chiefs, you look at the Bills, the Steelers are wildly, you want to talk about overrated, the Steelers wildly overrated, but you got to remember that Ben Roethlisberger, coming off a reconstructed elbow last year, still threw for more passing yards than Ryan Tannehill and had as many passing touchdowns. So think about that. But if the Ryan Tannehill slander is going to start, why are we doing the injury thing again with him? And why are we acting like 33 years old is old for a quarterback? They've changed the rules so these dudes can last longer. This is the kind of analysis I hate. It always comes up, and it's not just because we're talking about the Tennessee Titans. I'm not here to defend the Tennessee Titans, because I think there's a lot of fact in the idea that they are being a bit overrated, even if I do think that they still should be able to win their division easily, because a broken Carson Wentz doesn't scare anybody. But get out of here with this condescending tone that he would be surprised if they even won their division, if they found themselves in the playoffs. It's a team he would like to play. That's ridiculous. The team scored 30.1 points per game last year. Maybe stats don't transfer from year to year, but there's a damn good chance that they're still pretty dangerous on offense. Defense matters less and less by the day. The 2020 Titans just showed that to you. They won a division with a team that was giving up 55%, or excuse me, not 55%, north of 50% on third downs. Ridiculous. Now, yeah, they led the league in turnover differential, which is a big deal. Again, not a staff that can necessarily be replicated. Even as I see that staff every day at St. Thomas Sports Park coach the art of creating turnovers. It's not a fluke that they were tops in the league last year. Nor is it a fluke that Ryan Tannehill has stayed healthy. I know this argument, and I hate this argument, because I myself have been one of these idiots who's made this argument about a player before. You know who that player was? Derrick Henry. You know how big of an idiot I look because I made that argument about Derrick Henry? A player at a position that seems to get banged up pretty easily, about a player who's never been really hurt in his career, outside of being, I mean, not he wasn't benched, but he was asked, they sat him against the Saints in 2019 in a game that literally, the rare NFL game that had zero implications for their postseason aspirations. I made that argument about Derrick Henry before he got paid a second contract. What an idiot I look like today.
You stupid idiot.
Thank you. 615-737-1045. So when I see arguments like this being made, I hate this analysis. Now, fortunately, I have learned from my mistaken analysis and found growth. Joe Banner has been doing this long enough. What is Will Bowling laughing at me because I said that I've experienced growth? Is that funny to you? Am I a clown? He's not a clown. Thank you. I needed that. Is there day Braves baseball on? Is that why you're in here bothering me? Yeah, you can turn on your microphone. It's fine.
No, there is not day Braves baseball today. They did win last night, though.
Congratulations to you.
Big nine games in eight days. Sorry, I'm just hijacking your show.
No, we're going back to the Titans. You're off. Back to the Titans.
I tried. 615-737-1048. Schaefer literally shut off his mic.
Well, I have the fader down. You can turn that on all day. I'm not. You're done. I'm going back to the Titans. Can I play devil's advocate with the Titans and Mike Tannenbaum's point of view with that?
You may.
I still have major concerns about this defense.
Who doesn't?
Especially the secondary.
Who doesn't?
Yes.
But we're not talking about the defense. No, talking about Ryan Tannehill.
No. We have to extrapolate that a little bit. Yes, he's talking about Tannehill, but he's also talking about the Titans' performance in the division and where they may finish with their final record. So we have to extrapolate that out a little bit. The argument against Tannehill at this point, wretched, dumb, ridiculous. It's awful because we wanted him to prove it. So what did he go out and do last year? He proved it. This is one thing that we realized on the morning show with J. Martin Ramon when we talked to Aaron Schatz from Football Outsiders. The perspective that has been given by a lot of analytics people and by a lot of national media is that they are putting a ton of stock into Arthur Smith leaving this offense and how much of an impact it may have on this offense. And there's validity to that, to be sure. But I think that might be something that's being a little bit played up too much for this Titans offense.
Oh, no, of course. Well, here's the best thing about that Arthur Smith did. There are few better, and maybe you could argue that no one was better in 2020 and really 2019. And you could, in fact, make that argument because CBS Sports has put out that stat, that list of stats that the Titans are tops in on the offensive side of the football. When it comes to explosive plays and the creation of explosive plays, with the players that they had, there was almost nobody better in the sport last year in the last 2 years than Arthur Smith as the offensive coordinator of the Titans. Now, Todd Downing, again, massive. Having a collection of talent does not necessarily mean that you will be able to overwhelm teams at the professional level. Just ask USA Basketball, who continues to embarrass us on a national stage or an international stage.
But I think a perception exists because Arthur Smith left that this offense will return to some sort of mean, that they were exceeding what their expected output was.
But here is where his greatest part of the argument, his being Joe Banner, because we're reading from the article, the two most overrated NFL teams heading into training camp, again from the 33rd team, the Titans and the Saints are the two teams that are listed. I don't know how you could overrate the Saints. Saints don't have anybody playing for them right now. So Michael Thomas is going to miss the start of the season because he's already having to have surgery. Marcus Lattimore is going to be unavailable to them for a time. They've just had a defensive lineman, one of their best defensive linemen, suspended. And Jameis Winston, does he scare you? No, of course not. And that's not even to mention the quarterback that's actually a tight end that they continue to try and trot out at quarterback, Tim Tebow style.
Well, he scares you if you're a Saints fan.
Hell, yeah. I mean, apparently not. They love him because they keep paying him. Makes zero sense to me, the Taysom Hill experiment. I digress. So who is the most overrated NFL team heading into 2021. If it's not the Saints, if it's not the Titans, I think the Titans are getting properly perceived. I think that locally, of course, people are excited about Julio Jones and A.J. Brown and Ryan Tannehill and Derrick Henry. I think that there are plenty of reasons to be excited about the prospect of this team and the talent level that they have. But if we're talking about the most overrated in football, no. The only answer is the Cowboys.
How about them Cowboys? You beat me to it.
Who is going to say, and listen, I think Dak Prescott is fantastic. I think that he is one of the best quarterbacks based on the evolution of Dak Prescott. I don't think there's that many people that are better than him right now, not named Mahomes. And I don't say that lightly.
Whoa.
He is so good.
How many guys would be good behind that offensive line, though?
Their offensive line, that's not the offensive line of 4 years ago, five years ago.
They were hurt last year, but still.
No, it's a totally, no, I'm not going to, that's not an argument. How good did Zeke Elliott look behind that offensive line?
A lot of his career has
looks
been
terrible.
Behind that offensive line, so that's all we know of Dak Prescott.
When he was put into the lineup, when Tony Romo went down, at the end of Tony Romo, he was behind the best offensive line in the sport. Since then, it has been a markedly different unit.
Yeah, but most...
Everybody except Zach Martin, who beat the holy hell out of me in a semi-state championship game in high school.
We didn't see him behind this iteration of the Dallas Cowboys offensive line last year, though, because he got hurt.
No, so we saw him for four games, and he was putting up historic... Go ahead.
We have 2 years ago to look back on.
He's putting up historic numbers, though, last year. Nobody was...
I don't think he's... He's definitely not worth what they're paying him.
No, I mean, nobody... I'm not worth what I'm paid. Like, what are you talking about?
I mean, no one in this room disagrees.
Speak for yourself. Honestly, speak for yourself.
Well, you know, like, there's a difference. 615-737-1045. But, I mean, no. Every time somebody hits the top of the market, of course, they're worth what the market says that they're worth. It's just because the NFL inflation is ridiculous. But Dak Prescott is one of the best quarterbacks in the sport right now. I am totally comfortable saying that. And again, the Cowboys continue to be overhyped because they're the biggest, they're the baddest, and Jerry Jones has the loudest microphone. We will get into a lot of this conversation ahead of training camp because the next time we talk to Coach Mack for training camp, outside of today, we will be in the midst of it. So we will do our training camp, our Titans training camp preview with the best in the business. Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio joins us for his weekly installment coming up next. They protect Tennesseans and have been protecting Tennesseans since 1947. Trust the fine folks at Farm Bureau Health Plans. Mac, welcome back. It's lovely to see you.
Thanks, Buck. Great to see you. Great to be back. I mean, it's just about time to get up there and start watching some ball practice. So we're getting close, brother.
Let's do it. When next we have one of these conversations, we will be in the midst of Titans training camp, which excites me very much. We can get back into the swing of things. I guess, Mac, before we get into the nuts and bolts of it, What is the process of, I mean, what I guess are you looking as a head coach before training camp at? What is your preparation like? What are you looking to identify at the start of training camp before we get into the full swing of things?
Well, you know, what you want to do as the head coach and what Mike Vrabel has done is just, you know, he's gone over his schedules now and knowing what he has coming back now, knowing the physical stature of all of his players. And of course, you know, they've got restrictions on them when they first come back, Buck. You know, they have 3 days, you know, without pads, and then they can get into pads, you know, after a designated amount of time. So you have to have all of that structured. And then what you have to do is you also have to have up to the minute reports on where all your guys are, you know, which guys are going to be available at what time, because not all the players are going to be ready to hit the ground running 100% when training camp starts. Let's just get that out there. That's just the reality of the National Football League throughout. But that's what you're doing is fine-tuning your schedules, fine-tuning your time slots. You know, the football and the personnel people have just moved back into their new facilities.
Right.
You know, they've moved back across the street now. So, you know, that's a little bit something that they're all having to gather back up there and do. And so to me, you know, what I wanted to do was just make sure that everything was ready. It's kind of like – getting ready for the draft. You do a lot of work up to a certain point of the draft, and then there's a little bit of time before it starts is when you just say, okay, let's just let this settle. Let's let this settle, and then let's get into it. And so that's where they are now. I'm sure everything is very organized. He's got everything the way that he wants it set out right now. You're always ready as a head coach to be able to make turns on whatever shows up to you, because you never know what you're going to be presented with once everybody gets back. But everything to me at this point, Buck, is pretty much set. You're just now ready to get on the ground and get started.
Understanding that the rules have obviously changed over the course of CBAs and the way that practices are allowed to be handled at this point, and how much or how little contact these guys are actually able to have during the course of a practice. And, of course, you're trying to maintain these guys' health at this time of year, first and foremost. How much more can we learn about things like the offensive line, the defensive line, what this run game is actually going to shape up to be during the next couple of weeks into training camp and once the preseason begins?
Well, I'm glad you said next couple of weeks, because that's exactly right. When they do get the pads on, Buck, that's when you will start seeing all of that stuff start to formulate and come together. Until the pads really come on, it's really hard to tell for those two instances that you've asked about, you know, the run game in particular on both sides of the ball. But once they get the pads on and go through, and then they start having some of those sessions as to where it's a little bit more live thud than anything they've been able to do up to this point, then you can start to get an idea. But where you really start to get an idea is, and we'll get to see it, of course, in the first preseason game, and then we'll get to see it in the practices against Tampa Bay down there. So it's going to be a work in progress, as you know, and as our listeners know. But once the pads come on, when you start to evaluate offensive, defensive linemen, and also offensive and defensive run game fits, all of that stuff, you need pads on to do that.
With the rookies, Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio here with us for his weekly installment on 104.5 The Zone. Of course, you can hear Coach Mack across all four shows all week long, because he's the hardest working man in show business. With the rookies, understanding that they will not yet be in pads and that they've gone through a few of these NFL mini camps and rookie mini camps and mandatory mini camps, OTAs, things of this nature, what are you trying to identify as a head coach from the rookies in their learning process once they report back to camp after a couple of weeks off, in theoretically?
Let me give you three key words that coaches always use in a progression. It's comprehension. How are they comprehending what they're being taught, you know, in the classroom, in the walkthroughs? How they comprehend it? What is their retention, you know, from day to day? You know, because you're always adding. You're adding every day. Every day in training camp, you're adding something different. You're layering your offense and your defense and your special teams. All those things are layered. And then the last part of it is the execution. So comprehension, retention, execution, that's what you're looking for as a coach. And you're looking for it on a daily basis. And that's what you're evaluating on a daily basis, deciding who is going to make up your roster. And so especially with your young players who have not had any NFL experience, that's extremely important for them. And that's what I always used to tell my rookies when I would just meet with them individually or as a group. I would say, look, your comprehension, your retention, and your execution, guys, you're judged on that every day. So first of all, let me school you a little bit on what each one of those factors mean, and then how you can use those to your advantage.
With Todd Downing, just to go back to the coach's standpoint or the coach's perspective, We know that Todd Downing has been on this Titans staff. He's not new to the coaches. He's not new to the players. We think that a lot of the language will probably be similar, even though the tendencies of the play caller may change a little bit and adjust for the personnel that they now have on that side of the ball, as they do every year for every team in the NFL, Mac. But as a coordinator in this position with this organization, what are you trying to accomplish to make sure that you can keep things? I understand that you're not going to be able to translate, you know, 30.1 points per game from a year ago immediately over and try and do the things to maintain that. But what is the primary objective of a new coordinator, if not necessarily new to the staff at this time of the year, coming in with a new unit and new personnel?
Well, his situation, he's got a great advantage because he's been there for 2 years.
Right.
You know, he's got a great advantage. He's been there. He knows you know, what went well. He knows what didn't go well. He was involved in the layering of this offense. You know, I talked about that repeatedly you know, on this platform and then others I was on during when I was asked during the season, what's going on? What is Arthur Smith doing with this offense? I said, he's going to layer this offense. And Todd was involved in all of that. Now, you're absolutely right. The play calling, once you get to the ball game and the structure and the game planning, he was involved in all of that too with those other coaches, but it still is yet to be seen as to how it's going to unfold. And look, just because you scored 31 points a game last year, that doesn't guarantee you when you roll the ball out there, you're going to do that again. What the only guarantees you have is what you can put in and how detailed and how much you work leading up to those instances. And so that's what he's going to be in. But he's in a great situation as far as having been there, you know, other than and plus the language. You mentioned the language, Buck. That's extremely important. That's extremely important because even as you are layering things, you're talking the same language with the players. You know, I've been part of coming in and installing a new defense at a new place, you know, where I was the new coordinator with entirely different language. That takes a while to work through. And even when I was able to do that, we had a lot of time with our players in the offseason, much more time than they have right now. So that part of it is a big advantage, Buck.
I guess who most benefits from that, Mac, on the offensive side of the ball? Because I was just watching Tom Brady speak after they went to the White House, his fourth presidential administration that Tom Brady has been to the White House to receive a Super Bowl celebration. And Brady talking about, you know, he was basically still not terribly comfortable with Bruce Arians and that offense. I mean, he was comfortable with Arians, but not yet comfortable with his new offense until about the postseason, and he was still working through some things, which, of course, we know is completely normal for any new player in any new situation. Is the biggest beneficiary of this kind of somewhat continuity with Todd Downing in this position, is it Ryan Tannehill?
Well, absolutely. I mean, all the players are. And that's a great case in point you make, as you're talking about one of the best of all time. But he was ingrained in a system for his whole career until he got up there with Bruce Arians. And, of course, being the perfectionist that Tom Brady is, he wanted to know everything exactly. But until you can talk the language and understand why things have been placed on top of one another like they have been throughout the course of that offense that Bruce Arians has built throughout his career, well, I mean, it wasn't the same as to what he and Josh McDaniels were able to be a part of and build it. So you have to relearn it. And so that's a great example that you point out. Even as an accomplished player as Tom Brady is and was going in, there is still a learning curve. So, yes, I mean, the players benefit from that greatly. They because it allows them to learn it quicker and to play faster, Buck, because it until you've ever gone through it, it's such a different world when you're hearing different things. The concepts, basically, you know, nobody's invented any brand new magical concepts in the National Football League. Everybody's borrowed from somebody. Everything has morphed from something else. But the language that you use is different. I mean, it's just like speaking a different language. Somebody may be able to be a little bit fluent in the language you're speaking to them. And if you're a little bit fluent in their native language, you can communicate, but it takes longer to communicate. Once they know the language that they're all speaking and hearing and comprehending, it's much easier for everybody. The players benefit from it a lot.
Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio here with us on 104.5 The Zone, presented by Farm Bureau Health Plans. Turn to the folks who have been in the game since 1947. Farm Bureau Health Plans offers the great health care coverage you need with a price tag that you can afford. On the defensive side of the ball, Mac, we don't know the status of guys like Caleb Farley or Bud Dupree. We imagine whenever they are ready to go, they will play substantial roles for this defense. With those two position groups heading into a training camp where their status is still unknown, How do you handle the players that you have, understanding that the first round pick and your biggest acquisition in free agency may not be ready to do anything outside of learning the classroom at this point?
Well, they'll be able to do walkthroughs. I mean, sure, they'll be able to do those things, but I don't think either one of them are going to hit the ground running 100 miles an hour the first day that they're out there. That's just not how it happens in the National Football League. But they're going to be a big part of it. But in the meantime, everybody else has got to continue to work because, I mean, those guys are going to have to work their way into what's going on physically. You know, and then plus, I mean, those are two different and disparate situations there, Buck. You've got a veteran player that has played in the league and has been successful in the league. And then you've got a very talented rookie player. Those are two different worlds to come from when you're coming back into something. So the approach with both of those guys is going to be different. It's going to be completely different just because of where they are, the stages they both are in their career. Everybody knows they're going to be a part of this defense and hopefully an integral part when it begins. But at the same time, you've got a lot of guys that you've got to get ready to play at the same time. So they will come along at their pace, but both of their paces will be different, Buck, just because of what I said. They're both coming from different ends of the spectrum as to where they are in their National Football League career.
Mac, you've spent so much time around so many NFL defenses and, of course, offenses and just the NFL in general throughout the course of your career. And I know, as you said, every situation is dependent upon the individual. But as a rookie corner, what is kind of the biggest learning curve traditionally for those guys to overcome when they're entering into the league?
Nuanced receivers, and then the speed that everything happens and the – quarterbacks make throws in a lot smaller windows than they made in college. In college, you've got quarterbacks that are waiting for big windows to come open. Most of them are. And then, of course, the hash marks make a big difference, Buck, especially playing defense in the National Football League, because the field, everything's squeezed towards the middle. So you've got a lot of room. And so the windows are different that you play that you play in. Corners got to realize one thing: the receivers are on top of you quicker than you know. Their routes are much more nuanced, and the balls are much more accurate and coming much quicker than they did in collegiate football. If you want to just break it down, you know, to just the generalizations, but that's what you got to get ready for first. And the main thing they've got to get ready for is being able to maintain and being able to understand the nuances of the routes, because the routes can get on them so quick. And then the good receivers, and once he gets to start practicing against AJ and gets to start practicing against Hugo, he'll understand and see that guys that weren't open in collegiate football because of he may be on their hip, that ball's going to be thrown, and he's going to have to be able to get into combat situations much quicker than you do in collegiate ball.
Talking Titans training camp with Coach Dave McGinnis of Titans Radio, him and Mike Keith, Rhett Bryan, Amy Wells, the whole crew gearing up for yet another season of great Titans coverage, the best in the business. Mac, with Harold Landry, as we kind of wait for where we know what, I guess we are projecting what Bud Dupree's role will be in this defense. Right now, Harold Landry is the top guy at that position. Where heading into a contract year do you need to see Harold Landry take the biggest leap?
Well, it's not where I need to see him or any of the rest of us. It's what he has to do. I mean, it's what he has to do, Buck. I mean, that it's up to him.
Right.
You know, it's up to him. And to me, I mean, you're judged. And I've said this and you know this. Every day is an interview in the National Football League, regardless of the stage of your career that you're in. But he's just got to continue to produce. And he's got to produce at a level, you know, that will allow him to continue to progress at his position in this league. And so, I mean, you know, to me, I mean, Harold Landry has been a good player. He's been a good player, and by his own admissions, he would like to be a more polished and nuanced player and a more productive player consistently. But his effort and those types of things, I've never questioned that, because you can watch it, you can see it. And so to me, when you've got the work ethic and the mindset that Harold Landry does, I don't worry about those types of players, because then the production and whatever they're going to be, but at least, Buck, they are giving themselves the best chance to, because of the way they approach their profession.
Coach Dave McGinnis, kind enough to give us some of his time on this Friday to make us smarter about the world of the NFL. Titans training camp begins, well, at least they report, on Tuesday. People starting to filter back into the facility over the course of this weekend, and then we settle in for another football season, Mac. I can't wait.
Buck, I will see you on the practice field Wednesday, brother.
Hell yes. All right, we will come back and wrap up this show, do some polls, and get you to the weekend. I'm Buck Rising. This is 104.5 The Zone. Now, I'm going to forgive Joe Hunk because he doesn't know our Friday custom. That's okay. Normally, it's the Sunday service choir. Normally, we send you into the weekend with some good vibes.
I could sing some choir music if you want me to.
That's quite all right.
I mean, I'm just giving options. You're right. Didn't know that.
That was on me. It's okay.
It's all right.
I still love you. 615-737-1047. 104. Well, I don't know why I'm giving out the number. The show's over. We'll do the polls with Joe Hunk here in just a second. At Buck Rising is where you can vote on them in the final minutes if you would like to make your opinion known. But this Aaron Rodgers situation, it gets funnier and funnier by the day. You've got Ian Rappaport, the latest on the Green Bay Packers, and I mean, I don't want to call it a feud with their superstar, but it's getting damn close at this point. The Green Bay Packers are not or no longer pursuing long-term contract extensions with Devontae Adams, which I'm sure is going to make the star of the Green Bay Packers, the quarterback, not any more interested in pursuing a future with the Green Bay Packers. This is what I think people don't get about the situation. It's not about the money. Aaron Rodgers is in the rare place as a professional athlete where he doesn't have to worry about the money anymore. He's saying there is no amount of money. They tried to make him the highest paid player at the position, adding 2 years onto the remaining 3 years of his deal. And he's saying, no, there is no amount of money that can get you or that can get me to respect you after the way that you've handled this situation. And I love that for him. I know people are looking at Aaron Rodgers like, what, you know, the entitlement, and who else could turn down, you know, $22 million if he doesn't show up to camp and all of these things, or if he sits out. Aaron Rodgers can. And I love when people who have the ability to not let money dictate their lives flex on people that way. So good for Aaron Rodgers.
Has there been another professional team that you can think of that has lost the locker room this quickly and of this magnitude like the Packers have?
I don't know. I mean, I don't know anything about their locker room. I just think that they pissed off their star. Like, Devontae Adams could be completely fine with Matt LaFleur and with the Packers brass. I don't know anything about Za'Darius Smith and the way that he feels about the Green Bay Packers, but they, and maybe there's players who are pissed at Aaron. I don't know that they're any less mad at Aaron Rodgers than they are at the organization, because they're probably looking at him like, buddy, we've been to back-to-back NFC title games with you. Just work with us a little bit. And he could tell him piss off. So I don't know anything about, hell, I don't even know that much about the Titans locker room anymore. It's been so damn long since I've been inside of it. So I don't know what the status of the Packers locker room is. But I know that their quarterback's pissed. And I know that that doesn't get resolved anytime soon. I would be fascinated to see if this dude actually sits out of football this year. But we will find out. In the meantime, polls.
All right, Dan. I reckon I'll talk about a poll update. This is Carl Childers. There's a young feller. I think he's got the final numbers. Here's the producer of the Buck Rising show. A feller named Lucas Panzeker. Got any mustard and biscuits?
I don't know if the Sling Blade voice that Rhett Bryan does is sexually suggestive or deeply disturbing.
It's maybe a both. Combination. Yeah, it is. There's somebody out here that's like, man, that's disturbing. Other person's like, I like that voice.
Sling Blade. All right, Hunk.
All right. Your first poll question that you threw up today was the NFL's forfeit policy for unvaccinated outbreaks is fair or foul? And the fair option won 62.2% to 37.8%.
Honestly, an upset. I was not expecting people to be down for that.
I think enough people are just like, dude, just get the shot and shut up. I think.
Well, I don't think people, because that gets into that the whole shut up and dribble conversation. Like, I don't think there is some nuance to that. I am not out here telling athletes to shut up and dribble, shut up and take the shot. Like, I'm not interested in that conversation. But there is no disputing that vaccination is a competitive advantage. Nick Saban is north of 90%, or Alabama is north of 90%, because it is a competitive advantage. So teams that want the best chance to win are going to have the best vaccination records. Maybe people are thinking like you, Hunk, because I don't think that there is a lot of nuance being had in this conversation where they're just looking at the athletes and being like, you're paid very well. Shut up and take the shot.
Well, and I'm a conspiracy theory guy. Like, I love conspiracy theories. I have plenty of them myself about sports. But with this, it's like, bro, you're getting paid a lot of money just to get a shot in your arm. I just got my second shot before I rolled in here with you today. So
how you feel?
Right now, it's only been about 45 minutes, so I'm doing all right. Should I be expecting something by the time 3HL starts? Or?
No, just the people in my Twitter mentions that'll tell you you're a sheep.
Ah, oh, I am. I did have a guy that called in yesterday and told me that I need to repent for my sins for talking about the NFL and the policy that we just discussed. So.
No,
he was serious. It was Darren Blaine and Mickey, and he was upset because we were talking about the NFL policy, and he just called in and says, you need to go to church. You need to repent. You need to go and meet your Savior and let him know that you are sorry for talking about this.
That is a perspective that I will never understand. I'm not somebody who diminishes. If you are able to find faith in anything in this world, good for you.
Oh, absolutely. No. All right. Next question. Here we go. What would have been the better name for the former Cleveland Indians, the Guardians or the Rocks? And yes, the Rocks won 69.2% of the vote.
It should have been Cleveland Rocks.
Look, I'm okay with that. I'm good with that. What angers me is the fact they just spent thousands of dollars just to change two letters of their name. That's all it is.
No, they spent a hell of a lot more than that because they got Tom Hanks and the Black Keys voicing their promotional items.
They do. I mean, they spent a ton of money just okay, we're just going to take the I-N off, put guard in front of it, boom, we're good. We don't have to change the uniforms. We don't have to do anything.
So I'm sure the cancel culture people are upset today. And everybody's complaining about what... Oh, hopefully they don't change the Atlanta Braves. Whatever. It's a sports nickname. Who cares? People are probably pissed when the Oilers changed to the Titans, and now 23 years later or 20-some-odd years later, nobody cares anymore. You'll be fine.
The people that are going to be the angriest are the ones that have the tattoos on their arms.
Well, no, those people are dumb. Those people you can't help. What's the Ron White line? You can't fix stupid?
You cannot fix stupid, my friend. Oof. You cannot. And then a final question. Will I lose followers/listeners today or loose them? I do not know the context of this, I'll be honest, but the answer that has won is lose, 52.4%, so it was a lot closer than what you probably thought.
It was not the final poll question, because there is an open-ended one.
Oh, sometimes there's an open-ended one.
That's okay.
Okay, but, I got you.
I will give context to the contextless.
Okay.
So J. Mart Ramon, I suppose we're having a conversation this morning about the NFL and the forfeit policy and the associated vaccine implications. And Mike Morgan at Big Pun 052 tweeted at J. Martin Ramon, loosing, LOOSING, loosing listeners by the second with your liberal pro-vaccine agenda. It's not. It is non-FDA approved and experimental shot. So his grammar stinks. But apparently we're the ones who are suffering for that. So I said, you know, given that we all know Jason Martin to be a raging liberal, because of course that's where, that's so stupid. I said today that I was going to loose probably a great many people that I am prepared to loose anyways, because if you can't get your grammar correct, I don't have much time for you anyway.
So that's why we don't talk that much anymore after the first day.
It's a tough scene.
Yeah, it was. People don't realize how bad my grammar actually is. Final question is, what is the most overrated NFL team heading into 2021? Looking through the responses so far, I see a lot of Indianapolis Colts. I see some Bills. I also see, obviously, the Dallas Cowboys.
All right, so the
go-getters.
The correct answer is the Cowboys, although this is a fairly subjective question. The Colts, I think, are perpetually overrated. Their quarterback stinks this year. He was like the third least accurate quarterback from a clean pocket. The Carson Wentz obsession, zero relevance to me. There is so much Carson Wentz. It's not even slander. It's just factual about how bad of a quarterback. He was the worst starting quarterback in football last year. But because he's buddies with Frank Reich, God save the Colts. This is as dumb an argument as any of I've heard. So at least locally and within our AFC South region, the Colts are perpetually overrated. And in the NFL, perpetually overrated. The Dallas Cowboys is the correct answer, because there is no way to underrate the Dallas Cowboys for as much as we have people jamming them down our throats.
Because Dak is amazing, and everybody loves Dak, and he's such a good quarterback, and he's going to be able to take them to the Super Bowl.
Well, I think all of those things are so, except the last one.
Yeah.
I don't know if the Cowboys are – I mean, their defense is not the problem. I mean, the defense is the problem. Dak Prescott is fantastic.
Yeah, when their defense was good 2 years ago, that was when they had the playoff team, and that was when they were a really good football team. This year or last year, one of the worst defenses in the NFL.
No.
So, yeah.
They were trash as a defense, and so that is why the Dallas Cowboys suffer. And Zeke could probably do with a little less feeding, although it did make me laugh the other day. He looked fried as hell at the press conference podium, talking about when he went to visit Dak in the hospital. Dak's all doped up, and all he's saying is, all he's moaning at Zeke is, feed me. Idiots.
Because he thinks it's funny.
I mean, it is. It's all right. This show has been, I don't know if it's been funny, but it's been fun. This was a, this is why we love doing the things that we do, because we get to have so much fun with you guys. And you guys make this so much fun each and every week. Thank you for doing so, for calling in, for interacting with us on social media. You do it in a way that is always fun, funny, intellectually stimulating. And if it's not that, at least we can laugh at you. Because everybody needs a little content every once in a while. I hope that I have provided you moments to be able to laugh at me, laugh with me, or anywhere in between. We will do it again Monday. But in the meantime, Blaine and Mickey is up next.